This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Linear Islands. Mike, you were just talking to those lovely ladies. All of them from New York area?
Yeah, they're all from Mount Vernon, from parts of the Bronx and up in Westchester. And they had this adorable little dog. It's, again, little doodle. And I can't say no to a belly rub. Look at that little guy. Name was Pepper. Just about 4 months old. So they got a little puppy up here. I tell you what, bro. It's a great crowd. We've got a bunch of folks. Randy, a couple of our listeners have already been up to Hooters to see us, and now they're coming up to Lake Lanier. If you are lucky enough to have a boat up here, you know the drill. Come and join us, and you can moor over here and then join the party. Landshark will be here till 6 at Lake Lanier.
Yeah, we're hanging out. We got a great day, too. It's been beautiful up here. Hey, man, coming up, Steve Coonan. Also, you'll hear from Kirby Smart. But speaking of the dogs, they are practicing, and we got to find out the latest from our buddy Mike Griffith. Let's talk some dogs. So, Mike, where are we at now? What, two practices in? It's early. I know Kirby is pressing the fact that his team is young, and that's where I want to start because the talent is there, but they are a young team, and it takes time, right, for these things to come together. Mike and I were talking about what we need to see from Gunnar Stockton through the first three games. What's that look like for you? I mean, what does he have to do to prove, like, okay, he is, in fact, the guy, and we feel really confident enough that the Dogs can potentially win a national championship with Gunnar?
Yeah, I think that Alabama game is a big test. You know, I think we kind of – it sounds crazy, doesn't it, that we think the guy should win his first road start at Neyland Stadium in front of 100,000 people in his, fourth career start? Yeah, you're supposed to do that at Georgia. It's what you do against Alabama 2 weeks later, and then, oh, by the way, we're going to wait and see what happens against Texas in November. Presuming that you go on the road in October and win against an Auburn team that's got more weapons than they've had in years. So, yeah, we can get way far ahead if we want, but right now it's about staying healthy through this fall camp. I mean, Kirby said yesterday this is the healthiest they've been going into a year in 5 years, which is big. He talked about – this was not Kirby-like – talked about impressive testing numbers. Is this Kirby Smart hyping up his own team? I think it is. But then going out there and looking at him, I mean, these guys pass the eye test. They look good in uniform, I'll tell you that.
The defensive line, I mean, is that going to be the strength of this team?
Well, stopping the run needs to be the strength. I'd say the front seven needs to be the strength. I mean, those linebackers are freakish. I said they ought to call their linebacking core the Justice League. I mean, they're all built like superheroes. The front four looks awesome. I mean, 3-4, depending on what you want to call Jack linebacker. But, I mean, Elijah Griffin, it's not fair to hype up freshmen, but he's at Georgia, and they seem to just get these guys. And just looking at him, and I was looking at him and Christian Miller, this guy's seasoned for the NFL, standing next to each other, they look like twins. And the guy's an incoming freshman. So you feel like the defensive line could be hungrier, quicker. You know the linebacking core is ridiculously talented and deep. And then the secondary, I mean, I like this. I like K.J. Bolden. I mean, if that guy's happy he flipped from Florida State to Georgia, by the way, I'd say no.
Yeah.
So I think defensively this is probably at least as good as they've been since 2022, in my opinion.
We're talking with Dog Nation's Mike Griffith here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dogs are practicing. And look, there's just a lot. Did you take anything away from Kirby's first press conference? You know, he always tries to set the tone and talks about where they are, but was there something that stood out for you?
Yeah, he smiled. He really did. He smiled. I'm not kidding you. I think there's a picture of it somewhere. Kirby smiled at an opening. I mean, and I think he really likes these guys. And, you know, he says he likes all his teams, but, I mean, I think he genuinely likes the enthusiasm and the youth. I mean, that's the flip side, right? You always talk about, oh, you lose these veterans, these guys in the program. Not to say that, you know, winning SEC championships gets old or anything, but there have been a lot of old war horses that have been around for a minute. You know, maybe Kirby's pep talks, you know, they've heard this one before, but now there's a lot of, 54% of the roster, first or second year guys responding to the message. I mean, it was just a few months ago he said these guys didn't know how to practice and got offended when they got coached. Now they're embracing it. And one thing he said really caught me was that these guys hold each other accountable. You know, there's a reluctance now with young players not to kind of get on each other's ass. They're afraid they're going to hurt somebody's feelings. I don't think that's going to be an issue with this team. I think these guys realize, hey, you know, you look around the room and somebody's got to get this done. And if they don't work hard together, all you got to do is flash back to last year. I mean, it took 8 overtimes to beat a mediocre Georgia Tech. It's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Mediocre Georgia Tech.
Oh, now you've done it.
By 1 point. I mean, it wasn't like Georgia just blew everybody out of the water. I mean, Ole Miss handed it to them on the road. So I think they realize they can't just roll the ball out there and play. And, you know, the G on the helmet stands for something. There's a lot of work to be done in an SEC that looks as deep as ever to me.
Talking with Mike Griffith, the guys from Dog Nations. We're live from Landshark Bar and Grill at Lake Lanier at Margaritaville. The wide receiver position was kind of interesting. We mentioned earlier in the week, Drew Butler, former Georgia kicker, was talking to Matthew Stafford. And I don't know how much time he's got to watch USC, but he was raving about Zachariah Branch. So is he going to be an X factor for this offense?
Yeah, Drew knows that he's not too far off from the collective business. He knows where the money's at. And this is the highest. This is supposedly the highest valuation guy, translation, highest paid guy, on the Georgia team. And Kirby's not going out there and throwing money around for nobody. You know that. He wouldn't pay to keep Carson Beck. So, you know, he's going to make sure that he's going to pay for a guy like Zach Branch. And he's a joystick player. I mean, the guy's juice. He's electric. It's too early to, you know, put him in the same sentence with a guy like Ladd McConkey. But, look, if he's quick and he gets open and he makes yards after the catch, I mean, and he catches the ball, how's that for a change? That will give this Georgia offense a chance to have that sort of player that can take it to the house, you know, the home run speed from anywhere on the field, and a guy that defenses have to worry about. That safety, he can't creep up on the line. You got a guy like Zach Branch run by out of slot, you're in trouble.
You know, I'm curious because I think you were there in Charlotte when Carson Beck had that interaction with Coach Mark Richt.
Yeah.
And Richt was talking about and describe to our listeners what happened, because you're talking about guys getting paid at Georgia. It's going on everywhere. We know this. NIL's changed the game. But it was a funny comment by Coach Richt. What went down there? Because everybody's wondering what Carson Beck is going to do at Miami.
Right.
And I thought Coach Richt hit him right in the gut.
Well, I think he's going to do big things. And it's funny, you know, I actually interviewed Mark a few minutes before that. He told me the joke a little differently. I said, hey, I said, man, can you, you know, think about it. I mean, both you and Carson, you guys both went from Georgia to Miami. And Mark said, yeah, but I couldn't afford to drive a car like he had. I said, oh, man, that's a great joke. You need to tell it. He did.
Right.
He modified it. He said, I didn't make as much as you. And you know what? Let me tell you, back fell on the sword. You know, he said, look, I made some mistakes last year. You know, and at times I was selfish. And he said, and, you know, that's something you learn from. And, you know, love Georgia, love what, you know, loved everything Kirby and Georgia did for me. It was time for a new chapter. And, you know, talking to Mario Cristobal, he goes, I like it. He goes, I like it. He goes, the guy messed up. He knows what's important now. He gets it. I mean, you know, hey, don't put your car on Instagram. Nobody wants to see a picture of your girlfriend in Miami. Don't do those things. Not good when you're a team leader. Okay, Carson's got it. He's got 1 year to audition for the NFL, ton of talent, one of the best offensive lines in the country. As far as Mark, I mean, Mark gets it. Mark said, look, this guy was at Georgia 5 years. He's always going to be a part of it. He's got rings on his fingers from championships as a member of this pro. He's always going to be a part of Georgia. And people got to kind of relearn that now. People say, oh, he's not a dog. He spent 5 years there and graduated. That's more than 99% of the fan base has done for Georgia. So, I mean, it's you know, it's different. It's unique. You know, this new era of college football, the guys moving around. But Richt gets it. Richt understands it. Like I said, he finished his career at Miami. And don't forget, that was his alma mater. So it's interesting to hear Mark talk about Miami and Georgia. Clearly he loves Georgia, lives up here in this area. But I think he's optimistic about what Carson can do for the Hurricanes, too.
Hey, real quick, just to follow up on Beck, are we sure his arm is good to go? It's basically,
yeah.
Isn't it the same kind of thing that Brock Purdy went through?
Well, no, it wasn't. I don't know if it was reconstructive. I don't think it was quite as serious as some of the other injuries. So he was actually throwing end of April. So he's 100. I'll tell you, I was talking to one of the Miami teammates about Carson, and you know, he was telling me, well, he's committed. I thought I'd do a little homework, help somebody out. I said, well, what do you think about it? He didn't want to talk about Georgia Tech. I said, why don't you want to talk about Georgia? He said, I don't want to talk. I looked at him, I said, oh my gosh, they lost to Georgia. Oh, no wonder. It's a touchy subject
yep.
with these Miami Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah.
They got to learn how to beat Georgia Tech.
Well, the coach got to learn how to finish a game.
Yeah.
Cristobal, that's the one he blew down there at the Hard Rock.
He did. He gave that one away. He literally did.
Oh, man.
Hey, Mike Griffith joining us here.
Thank you. Yeah. Clemson fans say thank you very much, yeah.
Joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, talking dogs, guys. Practices are underway. We're counting down to the start of the dog season. And it's not going to be too long before we're talking about, you know, as he mentioned, Tennessee, I think, is going to be their first real challenge. Mike, you agree with that, right? I don't want to chalk up wins. You know, Kirby's not going to take anybody lightly.
He says Bama. He's not, Mike is looking past the Vols.
So you are? Are you looking past the Vols at third week of the season?
I mean, I don't know about looking past the Vols, but you asked me what he needed to do to prove himself, and they've won 8 in a row against Tennessee, so that's kind of in the business-as-usual category. I think there's going to be skeptics until he beats Alabama. And, you know, Alabama, by the way, they got to prove they can beat Kirby Smart, because they beat him everywhere else, but they haven't beat Kirby between the hedges yet.
True.
And there's a lot of Georgia fans have been waiting on the Crimson Tide to come back to Athens after, what, 10 years, I guess, somebody in the SEC office, somebody, you know, the sandwich tray left the room, and they decided maybe it's time for Alabama to come to Athens for a football game again.
Mike Griffith from Dog Nation. I ask your compadre about this all the time, so I'll ask you, talking about, and that's Connor Riley, about the O-line. Do you believe in this offensive line? Are they going to be able to set the run game so you take some pressure off Gunner and when you do get in the meat of the season?
I think so. I mean, I think Drew Bobo is underestimated at center. I mean, I like this guy. This guy's smart. This guy's great in the open field, and he's a quarterback on the offensive line. And, you know, there's so much to be said for the calls that get made at the line and making sure everybody stays in order. You know, they've got a lot of talent there. Come on now. Georgia's not usual, normal, average when it comes to recruiting. They have the talent stockpiled. They got big bodies out there. These guys have been in the weight room. Like I said, I went out there yesterday, and you know, it didn't look like you didn't point and somebody say, oh yeah, this guy's going to be good when he grows into his body or loses. Everybody looks ready to go, and they pass, you know, the sniff test, the eyeball test, whatever you want to call it. You know, if guys catch the ball, you know, it's not second and 10 every other series because receivers are dropping passes. If they catch the ball, they get into workable situation where it's second and 5, third and 2, and all of a sudden, oh my goodness, you can run the ball. You can run the ball, you've got balance. You got balance, you can play action. You got play action, your tight ends get involved. It's as simple as execution. And last year, the very important facet of catching the ball was missing. If Georgia catches the ball, they beat Alabama by 2 touchdowns on the road last year. It's as simple as that. Get guys that can catch the football. And right now, they've got a lot. Noah Thomas came in. Colby Young is back. You guys already mentioned Branch. Dylan Bell feels like he's got something to prove. You know, London Humphreys, you know, he's studied the Vanderbilt transfer. This guy's a flyer. They've got weapons. C.J. Wiley. I mean, there's so much talent in that receiver core. And if Gunner can get him the ball on time, make the right reads, there's no reason to believe this team can't make another run.
Okay, Mike, and I agree with everything you're saying because, look, you got to be able to throw the ball vertically and stretch the field. But what about the run game? The Dogs still, I don't think for the last 2 years, have run the ball the way we like or expect them to run the football. That's got to be a big part of this as well, right?
Well, don't tell Texas that because they got to see the version of Georgia that had a healthy Trevor Etienne. I mean, remember last year there were times when Etienne was out and Rod Robinson got hurt early, that they only had one scholarship running back at times last year. So that factored into the play calling as well. So instead of pounding it down somebody's throat, you know, you're throwing those quick little passes, the quote-unquote extended run game, except receivers didn't catch it. And so you were lacking, you know, that element. I feel like they're stockpiled back there. I feel like there's some good backs there. I think the personnel and the health, and that was what Kirby stressed yesterday, was that health. I mean, you put 3 or 4 scholarship running backs in the room at Georgia, you're usually some pretty good runners back there. You'd like to see Frazier take the next step. You'd like to think Rod Robinson is back healthy, but I don't have any reason to believe that he won't be.
Hey, before we cut you loose, I know that everybody's talking about the parity, but it just seemed like Texas does have a lot more loot. Everything's bigger in Texas, including the payoffs. But they still got the weak spot, the blind spot.
That's a hater comment.
They've still got an Achilles heel. The name, Steve Sarkisian. Do you think he gets over the hump? Because it seems like there's a learning curve for everybody, but do you feel that Texas, if they do fall short, it's because of Sarkisian?
You know, no, I don't. I mean, I think Sark is a good coach, and, you know, when he was the Bama, no, he wasn't the head coach, when he was the Bama offensive coordinator, they were throwing for over 400 on a pretty good Georgia defense. I think the guy's a good football coach. I think he had a quarterback that was semi-injured last year in Quinn Ewers. Maybe you can say he should have pulled the trigger on Arch Manning a little bit sooner and put him out there with that mobility. I don't know. We'll never really know what Arch would have been able to do last year. But there's a lot of talent at Texas and a lot of talent stockpiled. They won a lot of big football games. I can't just say it's Steve Sarkisian. I think he's a good play caller. I'm not such a smart guy behind the podium, though, when he says there's only so much money to go around and tries to paint himself as a sympathetic figure. That was probably one of the biggest bloopers in SEC Media Day's history there. But I like the guy. I think there's a great collection of talent. They've got tradition. They've got everything in place. They just ran into this roadblock with a G on it last year twice. Take away those two games, and you know, I actually thought they fared. They didn't win, but I thought they played pretty tough in the playoffs.
They needed those games to get to this season, to know what it means and what it feels like to play in those games. It's the advantage Georgia's had pretty much over everybody, like Alabama used to. You get in those big games and how your kids respond. Hey, man, great stuff. Mike Griffith, appreciate you. Check him out, Dog Nation. We'll be in contact, man, as camp continues. Good stuff, man. Happy weekend.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Cool. You too. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, broadcasting live, Lake Lanier Islands, Margarita Bill. We're here at the Land Shark Bar. And Mike and I mentioned this. I just want to mention this story again. We got Guy Talk coming up. Also, Kirby's conversation with the Steakhouse, which you'll hear here in less than 5 minutes. But the NFL and ESPN have reached a blockbuster agreement. Here's the kicker. And again, it's not officially been announced. But just so you kind of get a sense of what's going on, this is going to include, and the service they're saying is going to cost $30. Okay. But it's going to allow subscribers, because here's the question we got. If I have ESPN on my current DirecTV or whatever, do I have to do the streaming thing? From what we're hearing, the answer is no. If you already have ESPN, but if you don't and you want all this product, you're going to have to subscribe to their direct customer. And it's going to allow subscribers to bypass cable or satellite providers to watch ESPN programming. But, Mike, we're talking about NFL Network, Red Zone, 7 more regular season games, NFL fantasy football business, as well as potential to integrate special features, including betting. So that is what this is. This, and I don't want to call it a merger because, again, it's a deal that's being done, and basically
well, ESPN just gobbled up. The NFL Network's been, they've been looking to dump their network.
For equity, though.
Right. But this, NFL's been looking to dump their TV stuff for about a year and a half now.
But this is not, again, potentially worth billions, but it's really about equity, investment into what's going on. All right, man, we got Guy Talk coming up, Mike.
That means they're going to have Stephen A. and Pat McAfee sweeping the floors, and I guess when it snows out there, they'll be sweeping the snow off the front door. They'll be doing everything. Well, so you can have no money for anything else up there.
Well, there are a lot of folks at NFL Network who do pretty well. And so now you're talking about,
how does that cross over?
Correct. There's a lot of that.
What Kirby had to say in the Steakhouse, is Vegas being rejected by millennials? We'll explain coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, hanging out on a Friday. Big shout out to Dave Ashburn hanging out with us up here, our sales manager.
He got the tab.
Well, it's nice of him. It really is.
Guys, come on.
He said, I don't know how true it is, he said he had some meetings up here. I don't know if he did. All I know is I saw him on a jet ski when I rolled up. That's all I'm going to say.
All I want to say is good Americans like Dave Ashburn providing leadership at the radio station. Buying tabs. That's a good American right there.
Hey,
now watch me hit this drive.
Yes, exactly. If you are just tuning in, guys, however you're accessing the show, thank you, whether you're on your computer, you're listening on the app, maybe you're in the car. Thank you for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. We've been up here all day hanging out. It's been a great time. We'll get you caught up on the Braves. They did lose today. Mike just showed me something that blew me away when it comes to the Braves this weekend. We'll talk about that. We also will have Steve Coonan on here in about 20 minutes. But we want you to hear Kirby Smart, a little bit of what he had to say with the Steakhouse today. If you want to go check out the full interview, online at Odyssey.com. But Kirby was talking about a variety of things with the Steakhouse.
Yeah, I'm excited about those guys. I wouldn't say they were brought in to help out with the run game because there's not a lot of creative run game in the NFL.
Yeah.
Run game is pretty vanilla across the board. They don't have their players as long. They also have to do it really quick. Like, they get a free agent. They got to be ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
We brought those guys in, number one, because they were available. Number two, Lily has a history with our staff and knows them well. And then Phil has been a lot of places, knows a lot of different technique and mm-hmm. things. It's really more about pass pro with him because
nice. –
He's done a bunch of it. Ty is a guy that's from the state. His dad's from the state. Gave me my first job. We've brought some guys in on defense. Bob, Bryson Allen Williams, who we recruited. Jaden Hunter, who's a legacy and played here. So there's a lot of energy with those guys, enthusiasm, new ideas. But at the end of the day, they're Georgia people to me. They're bought into our culture, and they're going to make us better. They get a lot of individual time with our players. When you got 130 guys and you're trying to divide up Indy, it's nice to have extra coaches.
Kirby Smart with us live in Athens. It's dog day on the Steakhouse. What do you know about Gunnar Stockton that the average guy driving around Atlanta doesn't, which makes you feel good? I know you like all your quarterbacks, but let's just talk about Gunnar. What do you know about him that we don't, that we'll discover as this year plays out?
I love his work ethic. I love his dedication and, like, passion to film study. He takes notes every day. Like, the detail matters to him. And he doesn't get real emotional, high and low. He's not like one of these people that's up and down. He messes something up, he keeps it moving. I just love his competitive toughness. You know, he may not be 6'4", and people say he doesn't have a great arm strength. He's got really good arm strength. But I love the way he goes about his business.
What does great film work mean? Do you have to coach a kid about, you know, whatever high school was, this is how – are you looking at – obviously, the next opponent. Are you looking at practice tape? How do you coach a kid that's a quarterback about film work?
Well, it depends on what part of the season is. Right now, we're self-scouting, right? We're trying to put in our install, and he's trying to understand what my options are, what the split of the receivers would be, what the protection is, who the mic point is. But when it gets to the game, it's going to be studying that defense. So he's not really studying defenses right now. He's doing install. But there'll come a point in time he has a regimen. He comes in on Sunday and watches two games. He comes in on Monday, he studies first and second down. Comes in on Tuesday, he sees third down, red area, special situations, 2 minute. So he has a protocol he goes through, and he's really religious with that. Like, he feels comfortable doing that. And, not, you know, not every quarter. Some quarterbacks will say they do that, but they really won't. Like, he'll do it.
Did he bring that in with him, or did he start that along the way? Did he always do that?
Well, I don't know exactly what he always did, because I don't know what he did in his high school protocol, but most guys don't have the same access to film. It's not as convenient to you. It's not cut up. They don't have the same manpower we do in terms of, you want to watch every time they've run this blitz? Here it is. You want to watch every time this guy has done this, this corner pressed? Okay, here he is. I can give him a cut up of whatever he wants. So he has, as he's grown, he's become a better film study guy. And most people are that way. You know, you grow as you do it.
Let's talk about the third phase, special teams. You guys have put a big emphasis on that aspect of the game. A lot of preseason accolades for that group as well. Peyton Woodring, Brett Thorson, Zachariah Branch, even the long snapper getting first-team all-SEC preseason love. How are you expecting that unit to perform this season?
Well, it's the most experienced part of our team, so we have to rely on that to be a huge benefit for us. I'm really excited about Branch and really the other guys, Sokovi and Talon Taylor. A lot of those guys, Landon, have returned in high school, so we'll have a really good competition to decide who our kickoff returner is, who our punt returner is. But the two specialists that actually, you know, kick the ball and punt the ball are going to be very experienced. So we have to use that because we don't have experience in a lot of areas. We do there. Bo is the best snapper in the country to me, and he has the experience to do it. That gives you good, quiet confidence. We've got to be better in our kickoff coverage unit. We got hurt a little bit last year late in the year, but we certainly got the people to do it. We've got great – we got kids that love doing special teams because Kirk Benedict sells the hell out of that.
Right. Yeah. He loves it. Kirk's a phenomenal special teams coordinator. How does that play into your strategy going into a game in those special situational football moments where it's third and short, you could go for a long field goal, or you might want your punter to go out there and pin those guys deep and rely on your defense?
Yeah, it gives me a lot of confidence because it's like, okay, you got to have confidence in your short yardage offense, or you got to have confidence in your kicker.
Yeah.
And you can have both. And it makes it a hard decision because if you don't show confidence, like last year, we had a lot of fourth and goal situations. We went for it, and we got most of them. We had some fourth and shorts that we went through and we didn't get that I could have gotten 3 points because I know Peyton would have hit it. So it's always an analytics game and kind of trusting those guys to make the kicks. Of course, Thorson's coming off injury and trying to get him healthy and have a healthy competition between him and Drew.
Kirby Smart with us live in Athens. When you guys at receiver have as many drops as last year, right, which, I mean, you're pretty good on the sideline about not giving that grimace or, like, how did we drop that or whatever. You're trying to not, you know, be a meme for anybody, right? But yelling at a kid ain't going to make him catch better, right?
No.
In practice. Or, like, what is that that happens? Is it a momentum thing? Does it start to get in people's heads? I know you went and got a bunch of guys, freshmen and portal guys. But when you see something like that, how do you combat it? What do you talk about? You know,
yeah, you try to help them. I mean, there's a lot of times that's just mental and technical. You can have both, and we try to help them both ways. I mean, the biggest thing is getting confidence in practice so that you can have confidence in games. You get confidence by your habits, right? So if you have a lot of contested catches, a lot of jugs catches, and you've earned the right to have confidence, you tend to play with confidence. So we have to do a better job of that, putting them in situations and allow them to relax and go play and not put so much pressure on themselves, which I think last year that's a cumulative effect of like, oh, God, it's going
to
happen.
But why did you guys? You didn't do that to them necessarily.
No, but I think they did it to themselves.
Right.
I mean, you can get in your own head.
Yeah,
for sure. Hitters do it. Pitchers do it.
Especially when you're on the road in Tuscaloosa and Austin. And
regardless of where it is, I think it's that way. But it's something we got to work really hard on with the guys to gain confidence.
John Parker Wilson, who I play with, he always used to tell me that Coach Saban said, always palms down, never palms up, saying, what's going on? Always palms down to just calm everybody down and get him into those situations.
Coach, I know you're about to roll out of here. A quick question. Y'all may have answered this or he may have asked him. What do you look for when you a quarterback recruiting? What do you look for in a quarterback? That's the question I get. I quit trying to evaluate things years ago. What do you look for when you have to sign off on a kid? We want to bring that guy to Georgia. What's those key intangibles for you?
I stay away from the stats because it can be so misleading what league
Correct.
They play in.
100%.
But TD to interception is really big in college. So if you're looking at a kid in the portal, how is his TD to interceptions? What is his completion rate? If you're not completing passes,
Accuracy.
Guess what? You're not going to do that in college either. And then decision-making is the biggest one, is can they make right decisions in critical moments? Because that's what defines your game. And you're like, well, how do you measure that in high school? You watch the game film. You go say, can he handle the pressure it's going to take? Can he stand in the pocket? Can he create mobility? Because nowadays, you can't have a perfect pocket. We're not going to go back there and just stand there for 4 seconds and pat the ball in the SEC. You're going to have to be creative on the run, and you need guys that can do that.
Worst nightmare when a quarterback takes off running against man coverage and everybody's run off.
Scary for the defense. Yeah. I mean, you better have somebody assigned to him, or you better have somebody athletically like a Jalen Walker that can run him down. So you're wanting speed on the field that can chase him down if he breaks out of there. But it certainly helps when you got one with wheels.
That's our man Kirby Smart, and thanks to Rusty Mansell, who's got such a great rapport with Coach Smart and Steak in there. I got to kick the long form interview talking about the hazing, the things that he went through. He said Eric Zeier was one of the bigger ball busters when Kirby was an underclassman at UGA, the quarterback. So check it out. And he said Muschamp was kind of piling it on too. I can see that. But check it out at Odyssey.com. Hey, this weekend, guys, it is the MLB Speedway Classic 2025 heading to Bristol Motor Speedway. Speedway. I like the uniforms. They got like the racing numbers kind of like slanted to the side. They got the hats with the flames. I think the Braves got a better deal on this than the Reds uniforms for this deal. But I just said to Carl, curious just what exactly are the sight lines. Now, I don't know anybody who'd be sitting in the booker seats, if you remember the old Miller Lite ads, but somebody who does TV, I guess, at Fox 19, I don't know if that's Cincinnati or up in Bristol, it's basically behind the garage, so you're looking at the backstop where they have temporary stands, so you're literally like, it looks like you're a mile away from the field.
It's terrible.
I posted the picture at Mike Bell ATL. I couldn't imagine anyone sitting in those seats. I would think about maybe five sections over, that's where it would start, but we'll see. They're expecting maybe north of 86,000 and setting a new regular season record. There was an exhibition I mentioned. LA Coliseum, that was not regular season. There was a Yankee appearance in Cleveland against the then Indians at Municipal Stadium, and that is the current largest crowd ever for regular season. What's your level of interest for this Braves game?
I'm curious to see what the visual is. I want to see the scenery. I want to take that part of it in because, again, we don't see this every day.
Right.
As far as the game itself, look, we're out of this thing. We know that. So,
right.
Strider, give us a show.
Right.
I'd love to see some home runs from our guys, but I just want to see the visual of what this is going to look like.
Hey, man, it'd be cool. Maybe we get something special. Strider strikes out 13 guys, something, whatever.
Exactly.
You know, and it's they bring some clutch, and these guys maybe get up for the moment. Hey, I was mentioning it's a expedited version of a guy talk here because we wanted you guys to hear Coach Kirby Smart with Sandra and Steak and Rust. Real quick, you and I love Vegas. We used to love going to Vegas twice a year for HBO fights, in addition to our trips with our wives or friends. I know you always do the March Madness thing with your boys. Well, Vegas is down. Las Vegas has experienced an 11% decline in visitor numbers compared to June of last year. Downturn They're saying economic uncertainty, weaker consumer confidence, slower convention months. Also, and this comes from Forbes, that millennials, they say, are less risk averse. Some people still, younger guys, are still gambling online where it's become more available. And the emergence of more casinos closer to home for folks on both coasts. You buying that?
I do. That's what I think it is more than anything. You know, the idea of you gambling legally and you not wanting to get in trouble, the only place you could do it was Vegas. Jersey, okay. But now, Mike, 39 states. You can be right on an app. You can gamble. There's most of those are table games as well. I think that's playing a big role in the decline, and it's taken away from – it's not that Vegas has gone down. The appeal is still there. But why fly if I don't have to when I can be, you know, 2 hours or an hour away?
The other thing, other than the concerts, and now you know why they brought the Formula One race in, because they've seen the growth go down.
Yeah.
Having these big events like the major bands at Sphere. But I will say this, you can't find a $10 table on the Strip. Prices are so expensive.
That's true.
The casual play, if you want to play craps or blackjack, you got to go down to Fremont Street.
True.
Hotel rates are insane. And last time I checked, Delta and nobody else is making it cheap to fly to Vegas. So all contributing factors, and international travel down for a number of reasons. You can figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, man, a guy knows something about economics and sports. That's our boy Steve Koonin coming up next.
Yeah, and we got to talk about this ESPN partnership with Disney, because it is apparently being reported. It's going to be announced, I think, next week, and how that might change our viewing habits in sports. We'll talk to him about that and more coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Steve Koonin, good afternoon. We are sitting here enjoying a lake view up here at Lake Lanier Islands. We've been up here all day.
Is that Steve's yacht over our shoulder?
Well, it's big. It's a big boat. Yeah. What's the name of that boat, Mike? Can you see? What's the name of that boat?
It's the SS Puffy K.
Oh, okay.
Knew that was coming.
How are you doing, Steve?
I'm terrific. How are you?
We're good. We are just, you
actually,
know,
the boat's called Moving Violation.
And that would be pointer. Your boat.
Now, my boat's probable cause.
We are doing great. We have just, you know what, football's back. George is practicing. We had a great conversation. Heard from Kirby today with Steakhouse, and we talked to our buddy Mike Griffin from Dog Nation. I mean, like, there's just a lot going on. Falcons are getting ready for the season, but we're excited. I want to start, though, something completely not related. And if, for those who don't know, we tell you things about Steve all the time. But Steve ran TNT for many years. He was a big TV executive prior to getting into the NBA and becoming the Hawks CEO. And Mike and I were just talking about this deal with ESPN and Disney. And I just want to get your opinions on it, because we're always talking about the streaming stuff with you and how the numbers are changing and our viewing habits.
Yeah.
So ESPN, for those who don't know, NFL deals the Red Zone and multiple other assets to ESPN. This is how it's being reported, in a blockbuster billion-dollar asset agreement. And Steve, I don't know how much you know, but what's the deal here? Because it feels like ESPN is gobbling up everything right now.
Well, here's the best way to think about this. ESPN is getting ready to make one of the biggest moves in their history, and that's to offer for $29.99 a month a complete streaming service where you can watch everything on ESPN. And even more than what's on. You can watch the NFL games, the college football, the NBA, et cetera, without subscribing to cable. And then you have the NFL, who has the most powerful property with the biggest audience. But they happen to own multiple cable channels that are rapidly declining. And so what they've been able to do is trade to ESPN, the Red Zone Network, the NFL Network, which will then be put on ESPN's new streaming service. But the real value, the real gold nuggets in this thing is that the NFL Network broadcasts 7 games a year. Those 7 games, we're only going to be able to watch if we subscribe to this ESPN service.
Right. Right. What do you think the price point? Yeah, you think the price point will be right there at $30, Steve? That seems to be like the.
It is. It's $29.99. Yeah.
And from your experience in TV and marketing, is that the right pain threshold for the American sports fan?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. I think that ESPN spends an incredible amount of money on rights fees. Thank you. Right. You know, $2.6 billion a year NBA. For the NBA.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. And right. That's the name of the yacht going by. NBA rights fees. But you think about it, if you scale down to a skinny package or you put an antenna on your house and got the broadcast networks, which will also contain the NBA, ESPN's pretty much all you really need, you know?
It's our man Steve Coonan, guys. For those who don't know, because we have new listeners every day based on the ratings, and thank you very much for a little extra in the envelope this week. Steve, you worked at Turner. You're first at Coca-Cola and then TNT, TBS, and now with the Hawks. Steve, what about are you worried as an NBA executive about this Amazon and everybody having access, or do you think the NBA is going to be fine?
I think the NBA is going to be fine. The NBA has historically met the consumer, met the viewer where they are. In 2003... we at TNT took the NBA away from NBC. And if you remember the NBA on NBC, if you're really old, yep. You'll remember Round Ball Rock. That I've never seen more people excited about a theme song. I never really thought it was that big a deal.
Yeah, John Tesh, I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, come on, guys. And right now, 48% of all TV viewing is happening via streaming. Second is broadcast, and third is cable. But no, three, cable was on the rise. And so the exact same conversation, will people be able to find it? And the answer is yes, except the NBA is going to be on a national streaming platform every night starting October 22nd and ending with the championships in June. So there will be more NBA available, and I think more NBA media deals, including local rights, to be announced in the next couple of years. So this is where the world's going. And yeah. The consumer led us there.
And I'll say this, for those who don't know, the NBA has done a terrific job. This is the part that's not talked about when people say, oh, the numbers are down. There are more social media interactions about the NBA. They've done a terrific job of growing their social media presence. And I think, Steve, you can correct me if I'm wrong, like Instagram and all that stuff, the younger generation is watching more of the games and the highlights on that, and the NBA has seen the results of that. That is where they outdo the NFL, even though the NFL is, you know, it's king. That is where the NBA outdoes the NFL. Am I right?
Unequivocally, the NBA is the youngest sport. It has the most passionate social media fans, and now we're going to be global. Amazon's going to be showing the games around the world. ESPN's going to be showing games around the world. So it's the world of media is rapidly changing. When I left Turner to come run the Hawks in 2014, TNT had 103 million homes, which means that's how many people subscribe to cable.
Right.
Fast forward to today, 11 years later, and they have 47 million homes and declining every month. So I haven't cut the cord, but, you know, pretty much everyone I know has.
Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO, as we're talking about something, again, that I think we're all interested in.
Right.
He's got inside perspective because he did this and ran networks and has been around it for a long time. As far as the Hawks, we got to talk about this before we let you go. And before you know it, Hawks will be talking about training camp of their own. Steve, everywhere Mike and I go, right, we're at camp this week, we're talking about the Falcons. Falcon fans are asking us, man, how excited are you guys about the Hawks? You sense this? Like our offseason, I don't want to say we won it because that, you know, people.
We won the offseason.
Yeah, people get carried away with
it. No. We won the offseason.
But do you sense this, like, okay, hey, everybody we're running into, and you know, I run into a lot of basketball folks, like, hey, man, Hawks, I like what they did. You get the same thing?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, Mike, I checked my mailbox, and I did not have a trophy for winning the offseason. There's no such thing.
Well, you know what? No such thing as bad publicity. This is good publicity, and they love you.
It is good publicity, and what we like, and we're seeing season tickets are flying. And, again, urge everybody, get with your buddies. The schedule comes out in 2 weeks, and lock in some tickets now because there is a palpable excitement. And what I think has got people excited is how aggressive we were. We didn't bring in one new player. We brought in four new players.
Right.
And I think – everybody's excited about the potential swap we made with New Orleans, where we could have one of the top picks in the draft next year. And I think people also realize that the Jalen injury derailed a pretty good year. So a lot of pieces have to come together. You know, it's funny. To me, the biggest authority on sports and sports predictions is Mike's dear friend, the guys in Vegas. And if you look, they have us winning 46 and a half games. Can't wait to figure out how we win half a game, but that's another conversation for another day.
Now, I got burned on that a couple years ago, Steve, but they see Porzingis and they see, you know, Alexander. We talked about Alexander Walker, Kennard. You, all of a sudden, you got the depth. You're banking on Jalen. You talked about it. And I think everybody agrees the East is ripe for the picking right now.
Yep, and they have us at fourth in the East, which is exciting because even if
exciting.
They're wrong – yeah. That's, you know, yes. Hopefully that's just a few degrees, but these guys are usually pretty damn good.
No, they are.
So I am cautiously optimistic. I'm very excited. I wear my heart on my sleeve and my carbonara on my waistline, and can't wait to get into it.
And by the way, Steve, we had the story earlier in the week. Kristaps Porzingis did an interview, and he was talking about how excited he thought maybe he'd get traded to San Antonio. And he was really excited. And we always talk about, oh, you can't get free agents. Well, this guy was a trade. But the point I'm making is he was stoked to come to Atlanta because of the things we
Absolutely.
Just talked about.
Absolutely. He's already got his place to live. He's very excited. Mm. Nikhil Alexander Walker was the most pursued free agent, and he came to Atlanta. He's incredibly excited. Guys have just flown up to go train with him in Toronto. All right, we're seeing guys literally meeting up, teammates meeting up and training in each other's hometown, which is fantastic. That's what you want to see, is them building that chemistry and that camaraderie now.
I agree. So, Steve Koonin, thank you. Good to have you back.
Can I give you one point of clarification?
Yes,
sure.
Please. Yes.
The Disney deal is worth $10 billion, not a billion, $10
billion. $10
billion. Right.
There you go.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like $70 billion going to the NBA conference.
Well, I think, as I said, the headline reported, blockbuster deal in billion-dollar agreement. He's saying $10
billion. He's in multi-billion dollars.
All right, fair enough. Steve Koonin, man.
Billion.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Yes, sir. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Be well.
Do you have a name for your boat?
No, it's not that kind of boat.
No, we were just joking around.
No.
There's a guy's got one of the biggest boats on Lake Lanier over our shoulder here at Landshark Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
And I was like, you need a boat that big on the lake?
No. If you do have one of those, I mean, you can live in that, Mike.
It's bad luck not to have a name for a boat, Carl.
Nah. Just keep her clean.
What about the Michelle?
Who am I, Jerry Jones?
No, I was thinking about like Jenny from Forrest Gump.
I know. Jerry named his boat after his wife.
Right.
His wife's name's Jean.
Right. Does he remember that now?
I think the boat's name is Eugenia. Right. Right. His yacht, $200 million yacht. Hey, man, reminder, we're up here at Margaritaville Saturday, tomorrow, August 2nd, 7:30 to 9:30. Doors open at 6. They're going to have fireworks at 9:30. It's pretty cool, man. You can kick off your flip-flops, escape to Margaritaville. They are going to have a special weekend celebrating music inspired by Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, man, it's Paradise Palooza. Palooza. Again, guys, they got A1A, arguably the best Jimmy Buffett cover band. They're going to be performing live. And then you're going to have fireworks. It's going to be a blast, man. Get the details. You can go online, Margaritaville Resorts, or just simply be Googling Lake Lanier Margaritaville and go get your action on.
All right, we're coming back. He says he wants out. It's big news in the NFL. And also, isn't he doing exactly what he should be doing? We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.